His church. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the head. It's his. It's not mine. It's not yours. It's his. Christ is also the one who guards it, who protects it, and grows his church. And because he's omnipotent, all-powerful, all the forces of evil will never be able to destroy it. And although the church has been persecuted throughout history, the gates of Hades have never prevailed against it. Matthew 16:18. Even death can't stop it, because it belongs to eternal God. The body of Christ, the church members, follow the Good Shepherd, and the body accomplishes its work under the authority of Almighty God. He's the one who guides events and decisions according to the Lord's predetermined will. Here's some sermon points. I'd like to talk about each one of them briefly. And characteristics of a strong church. And as we look at this, churches are not the buildings. Churches are the members. And if you are strong, and you want a strong church, be strong. Grow in Christ. None of us is perfect. We're all on the pathway to glory. Take that next step. That's the important thing. That'll draw us closer together and strengthen God's church. So, because we're part of the body of Christ, we need to understand the characteristics of a strong church, such as spirit-filled leadership. When Jesus gave his followers the task of making disciples of all nations, you'll remember, he knew they weren't equipped for the job, so he told them to wait in Jerusalem for the Holy Spirit to come and empower them. In the same way, church leaders, deacons, teachers, and others that are serving in the Church of Christ, it's spiritual work. So we need to do it being led by God's own Holy Spirit. He's the one who gives divine guidance, strength, and ability to accomplish his purposes. And if he calls you to do a particular thing, if you feel that God wants you to do it, you prayed about it, then God's going to be the power behind it. We're not alone in this. One of the beauties of the church is that we are together. We're not alone. You know, I think loneliness in this world is one of the largest problems that people face, one of the most frequent that shows up on surveys. Life is lonely. But church provides more than a family, a spiritual family. And it's God's gift, and it's out of his wisdom. He wanted his Christians to not be independent, but to be interdependent in a church and work together. You know, sometimes rough edges rub off, and good things happen, and people grow. That's the way it is in Christ's church. To be doctrinally sound means the church's beliefs originate from God's word. And the teaching is not a matter of opinions, it's not a matter of preferences, it's not a matter of traditions, and it's not a matter of feelings, but it's based upon scriptural truth. Number three, uncompromising convictions. Now, strong churches are composed of people with steadfast convictions, but this only works if the basis is from God's word. There are a lot of people in this world who have strong convictions that are hard to move, but in Christ's church, Christians aren't afraid to stand against public opinion and the culture and hold on to the unwavering truth of God's word. What a gift he's given us. A strong church has an emphasis on prayer and faith. When a congregation has people in it who are filled with faith and committed to prayer. The power of the Holy Spirit flows through them and it strengthens the church. And that's why we need to cultivate the habit of starting our days with God's word and with prayer. It's in those quiet times alone with the Lord that we grow, that we develop an intimate relationship with him and a dependency on him. He doesn't want us to be independent of him, but to be dependent on him. So we sing, leaning on the everlasting arms, and we're always leaning on Jesus because he is our power. We can't do this on our own, but he can do it through us. We listen to him, we talk to him, we walk with him, and he gives us understanding of his word, and he gives us guidance for the day ahead so we'll know what to do and where to go and how to live. We learn to walk by faith, believing what God says in his word. However, if we neglect our relationship with him, we'll drift because our minds and hearts won't be in step with him. And prayer is so key. You know, sometimes in emergencies we say, well, there's nothing we can do but pray. That prayer is the strongest thing we could possibly do. Almighty God, to call upon his power to help in whatever circumstance we face. Difficulties, challenges, problems, issues. You know, some people say, well, you won't be given anything that you can't handle. I believe you will. I believe, though, you won't be given anything you can't handle without God's help. I think that brings us closer to him. So it's necessary to be a frequent visitor to God's throne room, the throne of grace, with our prayers and petitions for a strong church. In this church body, we pray for individuals, and we pray for the whole body as a congregation. And that includes sharing Bible texts and prayer requests throughout the week. And you will see opportunities to report news about somebody who's ill or somebody who's new or those kinds of things. And the body welcomes those and we want to respond to them. Worship services to experience God's presence, number 5, and renew their commitment to obey and serve him. Sunday mornings are a time together with other Christians. Focus our attention on his word, on his grace, on his peace, on his joy, and on his hope. And if there's one thing more than any other that this world is lacking, it is hope. Christians have hope. They know the promises. They know they're headed to heaven. What a blessing. Worshipers try to come prepared to worship, with a prayerful, teachable attitude, ready to hear what the Lord wants us to hear. Now, it's more difficult if you're fighting all the way to the church building and then you welcome everybody and try to have a spirit of grace and peace. That needs to be present in our life all the time. It's also a time for fellowship, and fellowship is really important in the body of Christ, and you can hear it by the noise level in this room before the service starts. That's really, really a good thing. And what makes this church so special is we're working together, praising God and thanking him. We're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Now, in this church, I'm gonna leave some things out, but there are lots of classes and events during the rest of the week that help us to grow in the kingdom of God. And a lot of them are designed to do just that. And I want to mention a few of them here. Family Camp at Turner, Oregon. That's going to happen this year on April 11th through the 14th. And that's a great event. That's a great event, an opportunity to grow. The Summer Bible Memory Challenge program. I saw Calvin in here and a whole bunch of people working on those scriptures, that's a beautiful thing. Sunday morning classes, Wednesday night fellowship, sign language and speech to text app for the deaf. We're hosting the Momentum Northwest Discipleship Workshop on September 20th and 21st. That'll be a huge event. We ought to have a lot of people here. And we need your help. We need your help. There's a lot to be done for that to take place. And so I believe immediately after this service, we're going to get a report on our youth trip to Colorado. We want to hear about that. And right after that, we want to talk about getting organized for hosting this event. There's men's accountability groups. There's a monthly fellowship breakfast. There's a sacred marriage class in the fall. Our hope was we would see some young couples there we don't see very much of at class time. And if you know of somebody that could use this class, please tell them about it. It's a real spiritual approach to marriage. Women's Bible study on Tuesday mornings. A youth program that's designed to build the faith and service of our teens with a truckload of activities. I couldn't cover them all this morning. Vacation Bible School, world class. Prayer team meeting on Tuesday and Thursday mornings. Plus a large number of other activities and events. I'm asking you, I'm challenging you to consider which of these you could be involved in. There are others, I didn't mention them all. And I don't want to diminish them, I just didn't remember them. How is God using these to help you grow in Christ? Number 6, faithful and generous giving. Members of a strong church not only worship the Lord with words and songs, but with time and talent and financial resources. In fact, anyone who's chosen to obediently follow Christ will be a giver because the indwelling Holy Spirit motivates generosity and because our God is a giving and generous God. We want to enable this congregation to do much more in the future than we have done in the past. And since the Lord blesses and provides and protects us in so many ways, we want to give him the first part of our income, even in tough times. The scripture tells us whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will reap bountifully. All of this is about unity as we move forward. A strong church takes all of us learning and growing and serving together. Why do we need a strong body? Because there are tests ahead for this church. And it's primarily about the conflict between culture versus Christianity. As you invite others, and I pray that you do, and as God brings other people to our church, which he has faithfully done, they will come just as they are. You'll see brokenness. You'll see addictions, you'll see failed lives and relationships, you'll see depression and the impacts of living without Christ. These people may have a different look than the well-scrubbed appearance of Sunday morning saints. And perhaps they'll bring worldly viewpoints as well. But 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 12 says, "The righteous will not inherit the kingdom of God. Do not be deceived, neither the sexually immoral, idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God." And then listen to this. "And such were some of you. The grace that God poured out to you, give to these other people that come. But you were washed, and you were sanctified, and you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God." What a blessing. What a turnaround. They need to turn around as well. But they need you. as a congregation to welcome them and to offer them love, because we need to build up some trust. Will we speak the word of God in love? Will we make judgments based on appearance? The love and acceptance by the saints in this congregation causes a spiritual attractiveness in this church body. And several people have said to me, I'm here because when I came, I felt welcomed. People listened to me, they cared about me, and I knew that the love of Christ was here. What a blessing. Thank you, Lord, for that. But we want to grow as a church body, because this lost and dying world out here is huge, and our church is small. Let's pray that we can do greater things in the kingdom in future years. So play a role in welcoming these people, and in so doing, make our church stronger. Contribute to the strength of this congregation by your commitment to faithfully read the word and pray and personally grow in Christ. Value Christian unity above your own opinions and possess a faith that is consistent on Sunday morning as it is throughout the rest of the week. For the new ones who might come, from reading God's word, I see no requirements beyond faith on those that give their lives to him through baptism, the act of baptism, or have fallen away and come back and returned to him. Nor should we. Jesus said, Matthew 19:14, let the little children come unto me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. We usually apply this to our children, and it fits. But I believe there is also a spiritual application, as there is in just about everything Jesus said. These little ones could also be those that are lost in this world and know that they need a Savior, know that they need to worship and come to be with us. And maybe you've talked to them and you've invited them. And the most powerful, beautiful thing you can do, first, you need to know some scriptures. But what they're going to be attracted by is how Christ changed your life. That's the story you need to tell. Because there's no other story like that in this world. And people have that vacuum, that God-shaped hole in their hearts that they need to fill with the right thing. And they put other things in there, but nothing works and nothing is permanent, except Jesus Christ. And that's what you can help them do. So we believe, this congregation, that God is equipping us to be links among people to disciple them. By no means do we expect to do it on our own. There is power in God's Spirit and the force that is built up when people do it together. Like the way a laser beam cuts through steel, and this energy is intensified through the power of the Holy Spirit. Could I have the next slide, please? Here we go. I recently saw this graphic and it made a lot of sense to me. I want to share it with you. Connect, grow, serve, go. This talks about levels of Christian growth and service. Number one, connect. We believe that human beings were created for relationship with God and others, and we desire to be intimately connected with God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. His life and ours should permeate our relationship with other people. By connecting with Jesus, we get to know God intimately. We are attached to him as the branch is to the vine, an integral part. God wants us to form meaningful relationship with others. This church is a community of people loving and serving God and each other. Hebrews 10, 24 through 26. Let us think of ways to motivate each other to acts of love and good work. We need to be encouragers. I really think that's a basic Christian tenet. There's not a lot of encouragement in the world. There's popularity, fleeting popularity, but not a lot of encouragement. I think we as a group of people need to say, well done, and thank you, and it was my fault, I'm sorry, and all the other things it takes to make relationships work. We need to motivate each other to acts of love and good works. That really describes what we're all about. I'm getting used to the technology. I didn't know it had a 10-second pause for. But we spend a lot of time waiting on our technology, don't we? Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. We all have different gifts. We all have different strengths. It is good when we can work in the areas of our gifts. I'll tell you, though, this is the connect phase. Visitors who are welcomed and cared for are much more likely to come back again, much more likely to establish a relationship with Christ. So pray before you introduce yourself. Ask God's help to make a connection with new people. God doesn't intend for us to stop there. He calls us to build relationships with those that don't know him and to love them as he loves us. To do this, we rely on the help of our Savior. Next is grow. We can grow or we can stagnate. We need to continue growing for as long as we live. You know, Roy got up here and did a nice job of reading scripture, and I admire him for that. And it's obvious when he starts to do things like that how much he loves the Lord. And when I grow up, I want to be just like Roy. How grateful we are God accepts us as we are, but he doesn't intend to leave us there. We sing this song, you know, just as I am. He doesn't require more at that point, but he has a vision for you of what you can be in Christ, all you can be. And he has a vision for this church of what it can be. But I think this church is needed in this community more than any other time in history. The needs are so great. He wants us to grow in love and character and spiritual maturity in our relationships with him and others. To know God deeply, we have to listen to him and talk to him as we would with any other relationship. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, he speaks to us and reveals truths about himself. We desire to grow deeper and deeper. We need to be in Christ and Christ in us as the Holy Spirit indwells us. Dead branches will not produce good fruit and will be removed and thrown into the fire. If we're producing good fruit, it means we are branches that are attached to the vine. That's where we get our nourishment, Jesus Christ. And God will prune us so we will produce even more fruit. Number three, serve. God has given us our talents. We use our time and our talents to serve others, believing serving others is a vital part of serving God. Colossians 2, 6, and 7. Here we go. Just as you receive Christ Jesus, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in your faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Overflowing with thankfulness. You know, little things bother us, but our main theme ought to be thankfulness. We as a people, more than any other, should be most thankful for all that Christ has done for us. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. That is Christ. I still have a way to go. And you might too. I don't think any of us have arrived till the last day of our lives. And so it's all about Jesus. It really isn't about us. Serving people. Sometimes this is hard, to humble ourselves, but serving is the way to grow. Great way to develop relationships, and it's God's will for us. It's about being open to new challenges and discoveries and new gifts as we serve Jesus. Number four, go. I'm saying to this controller, go. There we go. Go reminds us we don't exist for ourselves alone. We're called to reach out to our community and eventually the world with the love of Christ. Our neighborhoods, our church. We need to be praying for this fallen world, that's for sure. And then we're called to go out into the world, into the workplace, into school, and invest our lives in reaching other people for Christ. First, making friendships, connecting, and growing, and then serving and reaching other people. And it doesn't always have to be in this order. Jesus said, "I chose you and appointed you to serve, that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain." John 15. The Apostle Paul told Corinthians they were created in Christ Jesus for good works. Some translations say works of he that does not bear fruit he takes away. Matthew, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations as I have commanded you." Now let's look at this scripture. 1 Corinthians 12:27. "Now you are the body of Christ and individual members of us." What does that mean to us? And I say what I'm going to say here in a few minutes. I say this to challenge you and to encourage you, never with any condemning spirit. Because I'm a member of the body of Christ, I must be a functioning member, whether my spiritual gifting leads me to be an eye or senses, and if God gives me strength, I will serve, I will minister, I will evangelize. I will study the Bible and I will pray. I will disciple or be a person suffers, all the members suffer. And if one rejoices or is honored, all will rejoice with that one. Because I'm a church member, I will seek to be a source of unity in this church. I know that there are no perfect preachers, no deacons, no elders, no other church members are perfect, but neither am I. I will not be a source of gossip, dissension, or criticism. I will take my concerns and issues only to the one with which I have issue, as the book of Matthew says. I am a church member. I will not let my church be about my preferences and my desires. I am in this church to serve others, and I know that the church doesn't belong to me. It belongs to the living God. My Savior went to the cross for me, therefore I can deal with any inconveniences or matters that are just not my preference. I am a church member. I will pray for my church leaders, for the minister, for the teachers, and those who work in this church body. I am a church member. I will lead my family to attend as best I can, and I will invite people to come to services. It's my privilege to serve God with others who love him in this church body. We will worship together, and we will serve together, and we will ask Christ to help us fall deeper in love with him and with his bride, this church, because he gave his life for her. I am a church member, and I'm so glad that I am. The church is the essential gift for Christians from a holy and loving God. So, Cal, you can come up at this time. Let me ask you, what are you doing to contribute to the strength of this church? We need you. We need you. Are you making it stronger or weaker? If others follow your pattern, number two, will the church continue to be strong and fruitful for the kingdom of God? What do you think? This morning, your elders ask you to earnestly reassess your relationship with Jesus. Is he truly your Lord and Savior? Does your life show the fruit of working for and serving God? This morning, I want to invite you to bring your burdens to the Rock of Ages, where you can lay them down and they can stay there. And ask God to make our church one that's unified, one that has strength and power, one that encourages the saints and prepares us to offer acceptance, encouragement, love, and hope to each other and the world. Remember, we're Christ's ambassadors to carry his message to the lost and dying world. Revelation 22, 12 through 17, Christ's invitation. Look, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give each person according to what they have done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. And blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may go through the gates into the city. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony of the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come, and let the one who hears come. Let the one who is thirsty come, and let the one who wishes to take the free gift of the water of life come. This morning, let's stand and sing, and I'll be right over here if you need the prayers of this church or if you want to make a decision for him.